my next guest, who is no stranger to RNZ National, the music producer, presenter, writer, Marty Duda. Kia ora, Marty.
Hey, hey, how's it going?
I'm going fine. Now, you have been doing the 13th Floor for quite some time.
Yeah, about 10 years, I think.
Yes, that's what I thought. But now you've decided to expand it to, let's see if I can get this right, 13th Floor's Uptown Lowdown.
Right. Well, as it happens, my studio at the 13th Floor is in the Uptown section of Auckland. So that's where the name comes
from. Hang on. Now, Marty, where's Uptown in Auckland? You see, I grew up in Auckland, but I can't remember there being an Uptown or a Downtown or even a Midtown.
We're at the top of Simon Street.
Yep. That'll do.
Newton Road and all that, yeah.
What's different about what you're doing now, and how did it come about?
Well, it came about, basically, up until last year, my main job, I was a video editor, and that no longer is happening, and I had a lot of time on my hands, or more time than I usually did, so I started doing all these Zoom interviews with all these bands all over the world, because everybody's in lockdown, and everybody's available, and I was trying to find a different way of telling people that we were doing this stuff, and so I had this idea for this video thing that would be kind of like a thing on YouTube, and so it kind of grew from that idea, and I was thinking, well, I could present it, but it would be nice if I had somebody else with me who is not me.
What's wrong with you, Marty?
Well, I'm fine. I'm good. But, you know, different perspectives are always appreciated. As it turns out, I had this guy whose name is Poon, who comes and helps me with my video sessions. Bands come up here and shoot, and he does the sound for it. And for a while, he was bringing his girlfriend with him, whose name is Jamila, and she helped out as well. And I had a feeling about her, and I thought, well, maybe she would be the person who could be kind of doing this with me. And as it turns out, she's perfect. So she's only 21 years old, and I'm not. And but we seem to have a good rapport between the two of us, and she's very enthusiastic, very knowledgeable, and very well-spoken.
This is Jamila Ross-Hayes, right?
It is her, yes.
Now, what's her musical background?
Well, she's in a band, as everybody seems to be. She's going to university and she's studying music. She seems to know everybody in the Auckland music scene. I mean, if we weren't in lockdown like tonight, I'd be out at the wine cellar or someplace going to see a band, and chances are half of her friends would be out there too. So we kind of travel in the same circles, somewhat differently.
When you asked her, were you nervous?
No, I just kind of was like, hey, I'm thinking of doing this thing. Do you think you'd be keen? I thought she'd be nervous. She wasn't, which is great. So she seems no fear. She's not intimidated at all. She's very enthusiastic. And we've done 9 episodes now, and it just gets better and better every time we do it.
How does it work? Is it pretty much the same as the 13th Floor was, in which you would sit down, you'd be there, there'd be a couch, and there'd be you, and there'd be the musician, and I seem to remember there'd be a coffee table there, and there'd be some
yes,
musical
true.
Instruments, and there'd be a performance, and you'd have a chat, and then you'd play some music, and then you'd chat a bit more. Same format,
well,
now with two people?
It's kind of like it's more like a TV show where we tell people what the highlights are of the previous week, the concerts we went to, the records that came out, and we kind of each have our own opinion about these things, and we tell people what's coming up the following week. And then, of course, when lockdown came in, I was thinking, well, how are we going to do this because there's no shows to talk about? But as it turns out, there's plenty going on anyway. Like last week was the Te Wiko Te Reo week, and we talked about Lord's Maori language things and the controversy around that, and we always find stuff to talk about. It's not a problem.
In terms of production, Marty, do you have scenes which aren't at the couch? In other words, do you produce some other stuff from video content from elsewhere?
Yeah. Yes. Well, a lot of the stuff these days is all on Zoom. Like, for instance, I did an interview with Tim Finn and Phil Manzanera from Roxy Music, and Tim, and I had them on Zoom, and I the whole interview is like 20 minutes long, but I take about, you know, a minute and a half version to play during the show, and we talk about that. Once concerts start going again, I'm going to be shooting some footage to give an example of what things are sounding like and looking like out and about in the Auckland scene as well. So, yeah.
The 13th floor. Now, yes. Was that a completely a labor of love?
Yeah, definitely. Yes, that's a very good way to put it.
Was there any monetizing? I mean, if it got a lot of hits on YouTube, which I think it did, couldn't you get some ad revenue off it?
Well, easier said than done. Everybody seems to think that's the case. We have gotten some monetizing with the Uptown Lowdown. We got a little bit of a grant from the New Zealand Music Commission, and because we're training young people how to make television and be journalists and talk about music and stuff. So I don't get any of that money, but my crew does. So that helps. And we have a sponsor with the Uptown Business Association as well, which hands in a bit of money. So that's pretty much the only monetization we've had.
How many interviews did you do in the 13th floor? It was over 1,000, wasn't it?
Well, just in the past year, I counted them, and I'm pretty sure there was about 350. So that's about one a day, at least. I mean, I wake up in the morning and I'll do two or three a morning. I mean, I woke up this morning at 6 o'clock and talked to somebody in Massachusetts at 8 a.m. So that's a typical day for me.
Who was that? Can you tell me?
Colleen Green is her name, I think. A lot of these people are people you never heard of or people you barely heard of. And I love that. Like, I talked to a guy named Billy Strings a couple days ago, who won a Grammy for his bluegrass album a couple years ago, and he's got a new one coming out. And, you know, you say, oh, it's bluegrass, it's kind of boring, it's old-fashioned. But he's an amazing musician, and it's way outside of what you think bluegrass is. So it's just one thing after another. It's fantastic.
So, Marty, this is, you know, an interview a day. And the thing is, it's not just the time you take into preparing for an interview and doing the interview and setting it all up and then editing it and getting it ready to go on YouTube. The fact is that you must also be spending a lot of time finding out about musicians, because you don't find them unless you look for them, right?
That's true, yes. So I find it's an advantage telling these people, you know, when I send out requests internationally that I'm in New Zealand, because it's kind of a unique and exotic thing for them. So I think that helps.
They want to talk to New Zealand.
They definitely like to talk to New Zealand, yes.
Marty, do they get disappointed when they hear somebody with a North American accent answering the line? I thought I was going to be talking to a New Zealander.
I do get that, but then fortunately, at least they can understand me. So,
You're not tempted to put on some Kiwi vowels and sound...
No. Now I've got Jamila doing interviews as well. And the first one I had her do was a guy in Norway last week who, and it turns out he loved New Zealand music, and he's kind of got a pop rock band. And he was going on about how he loved Super Groove, and he remembered them from when he was growing up. So it's amazing how the New Zealand music scene has permeated throughout the world. You just never know where you're going to find it.
How desperate are things getting in Auckland and level four? Sorry to have such a pessimistic turn of phrase for that question.
That's all right. I mean, we're going out of our minds. I mean, like I said, I usually go out 3 or 4 times a week to go to shows, and I haven't been out in 5 weeks. It's driving me crazy. And all the musicians I know, you know, they just want to get on stage and play. So we're scratching, you know, we're just dying to get out there. But what are you going to do, you know?
I mean, I guess you couldn't perform online, and now what you said, the way you said "yeah" just then, Marty, can you explain a bit more about what that "yeah"?
Sure.
The way you said it means.
I've spoken to quite a few musicians who have done live streaming things, and it's just not the same. You know, they want to be in the same room with their fans and with people and have interactions and get immediate feedback, and you just don't get that. You know, I mean, I talked to one guy and I said, why don't you do a live stream? He goes, well, I'm not Bob Dylan. I can't afford to hire all these extras and actors and smoke and, you know, pretend I'm not Bob Dylan. They just play to an empty room and that's it. And it drives them crazy.
I must say, however, sometimes from a listener's perspective, as opposed to a musician's, I do remember, for me, one of the great calming moments of the first lockdown was Nadia Reid doing a live session on Facebook from wherever she was living in the Dunedin area.
Yep.
And that I just remember it was quite late at night, and I was having an early night by my standards, and it just really settled me down. It was just what I needed.
Sometimes you get a magic moment. Absolutely.
But I couldn't clap, you know. She couldn't hear me clapping or cheering, or I mean, I might have sent a little. I think I sent her just a little message saying, "Thanks so much. This is just what I needed." Which I guess is maybe that means something.
I think it does, definitely. I mean, and I just watched the Beths, a local band, had just put out a live album, and I was kind of skeptical about that, as I talked about in the Uptown Lowdown show, and I saw the live video that they shot of it here at the Auckland Town Hall. And it was great. I really enjoyed it. So sometimes it can kind of move past all that and actually turn into something exciting.
So, Marty, if a lot of what you do is a labor of love, how do you feed yourself then?
Well,
given you're so busy doing this labor of love.
I rent out my studio, and we have all sorts of events up here. So I think we had Lucy Lawless's TV show, My Life is Murder, shot an episode up here a couple months ago, and corporate meetings and parties and things like that. So that's what pays the rent.
So, Marty, you're able to set up a set, actually a TV set in your studio.
Oh, it's huge, yeah. So we can do anything we want to up here.
Well, Marty, I didn't know you had such a big studio. I mean, I knew you had one, but I didn't realize it was...
It's pretty big. I mean, we had a crew of like 55 people for the Lucy Lawless thing. It was amazing. They were everywhere. They got the job done.
I guess right now, however, that studio is, there's a limit on how many people can be there, if any, right now.
We can't have any at the moment, no. I've been here by myself for 5 weeks now, and I'm going out of my mind.
Right, so. Marty. Well, I'm glad I gave you an outlet.
So am I. Nice to hear from you.
Just in time. Now, remind me again, if people want to check out the new improved 13th floor, the Uptown Lowdown, where do they go?
They can go to the 13th floor website, or just Google it or search for it on YouTube, the 13th Floor Uptown Lowdown. We got another episode coming next week. It'll be number 10.
Congratulations, Marty. Thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you.
That's Marty Duda, music journalist, music broadcaster. You might know him for his work on RNZ, also his work on YouTube, the 13th Floor, which is now the 13th Floor Uptown Lowdown with Marty and co-presenter Jamila Ross-Hayes.